Contracts, salary caps. Why do our favorite teams make some of the moves they do? It's usually the money. It's time for the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. My guest today is going to be Tom Condon, the leading agent in NFL player representation, CAA football. Count them, nine first-round picks. He'll talk about them. He'll talk about representing Sam Bradford and Matthew Stafford as they angle for new contracts, other free agents, and the business of representing football players. First, a word from Harry's Shave Club. You know, for years, it's just been one big razor company, and they increase prices, they get their profits, and it's the expense of us, the consumers. But Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys, they're fed up with this. They started Harry's. They fix shaving. They take less profit. They offer their blades at half the price. And you can do it now as I do. I always get a close, comfortable shave. I love the smell of the aftershave. You get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, five blades, rich shaving gel that I talked about, a travel blade cover. That's a $13 value for you to try. So stop messing around. Get started with Harry's today, claiming your free trial, $13 value for free. To get your free trial set, including the razor handle, five-blade cartridge, and shave gel, go to harrys.com/sports, all caps, S-P-O-R-T-S. Right now, that's harrys.com/sports. I came up in the business looking up to him, and here he is still at it and succeeding with a record haul in the recently completed NFL draft. Tommy, welcome.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I'll pick it up there because you've been around the agent business so long, and what sort of always strikes me about it, having been in it, the same guys that I sort of came up with, and now we're talking almost 30 years ago, are still at it and still thriving, like you, like your partner Jimmy Sexton, like Drew Rosenhaus, Joel Siegel, David Dunn. I mean, whatever you think of these guys, they've been at it for the longest time, and they're still at it. I guess what my question is, this incredible staying power of the top people in the football agent world, and unless I'm missing it, there doesn't seem to be kind of a next wave of star agents. And so I guess I'm commenting, I want your thoughts on the staying power of you guys at the top, and where's the next, you know, in terms of the NFL representation industry? I'm not seeing it.
You know, Andrew, typically the agent business, we don't, we're not all that friendly with each other. And so, but I would tell you that, you know, we've also got, besides Jimmy Sexton in our office, another partner is Todd France. And both of those guys are, I mean, you know, Jimmy's and Todd are, I think, both absolutely exceptional. And but, you know, altogether, we've got 10 agents in the office, and we've got some young guys that I think are really special.
10 agents in the football side?
Yes, sir. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's probably more than that. It's probably 11.
And how many guys are you representing at this time?
Well, let's see. I think between me and Jimmy Sexton and Todd France and Tory Dandy, we're probably in the 150 or so. But you know, as you know, numbers are kind of deceiving. It's more important the status of the player,
right?
And so we've been fortunate in that regard that our drafts have gone well, and we've attracted some some players in free agency that have been they're premier athletes.
And we look at the draft before we get to your sort of record performance in the first round last week. What do you go into it, say summer of 2016, looking ahead to the draft in April 2017? Are you going by lists that others put out? Is it readily available? Which guys are going to be the top? How do you determine your targets for recruiting? And do you have your own proprietary information about who to go after?
We don't. I think like most, we do our best to try to get as much intel as we possibly can. And some of that comes from our young players that we currently represent and some of our veteran players. Some of it comes from, my first year in the league, I was 21 years old, and I've never had any other job except the National Football League, so associated with the National Football League. So the, that's some institutional knowledge for me and for Jimmy Sexton and for Todd. We're all in that same boat. So, there's relationships with coaches and personnel directors and that kind of thing, and they help us with evaluations as well. And then the recruiting part of it in the beginning, when I first started in the agent business, you're basically taking anybody that'll pay any attention to you. Fortunately, as you move through your career and you get to the point where you realize that, time is your finite number. And so you've got to make as good a use as your limited time as you can to determine who you would like to represent, and then have to go out and recruit them. So, the formula is basically, clearly the player has to have the requisite physical skills to play in the National Football League. But my opinion is that what separates players as they go through their career is the intelligence and the character and the passion for the game. And I couldn't help but notice here as I was going through, we had talked a little bit about free agency players. And I was looking at my client list and, the Paytons last year, he was at 18. Shane Leckler was at 17. And I've got Antonio Gates at 15, Freeney at 16, Anquan Boldin at 15, and Kevin Williams retired last year at 14.
And just to be clear, when you're saying these numbers, you mean number of years in the league?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah.
And, you can't go that long without being a really bright guy who's got unbelievable character and a passion to continue and play at that kind of a level every year. And so, of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 guys I just named, I think most of them are, Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and I've talked to you through the years. I think what people don't realize about being an agent is sort of the depth of service that goes into these guys beyond the contract. And you talk about, these guys a decade and a half, Peyton almost 2 decades. You're not just showing up every couple of years to do contracts. And I remember talking to you one day last year, I think, and you had spent like 4 or 5 hours looking into some website idea that came to one of your clients. And I'm like,
right.
Really? I mean, that's what you're spending your time on. You get no fee for that. And just imagine that's one of whatever, 150 clients.
Well, yeah. And to tell you the truth, it's the, one of the luxuries of, being with, the CAA is that we've got a huge staff in the football division, and then in the entire sports division, which of course incorporates the basically the four team sports, the support group and the servicing group and the marketing folks are they're hard at it all the time, and they do a fantastic job for us, because you're right, there's all sorts of requests from the players and all sorts of situations that they are in, and we're trying to help them, resolve whatever situation they're in to the best of our ability and to their benefit. So we've, it's awfully hard if you're a, one-man band and you're trying to represent a, an elite athlete.
And you've obviously feel good about the CAA partnership, and for people who don't know, CAA, long before sports, a worldwide leader in entertainment representation, the big Hollywood and Tom Hanks and all these great clients in that area.
Right.
I have a personal connection there because Richard Lovett, the chairman of CAA, is a big-time Packers fan, Used to have him host him at Packers games for years. But that's been, it sounds like a really mutually beneficial partnership for you guys, huh?
Yeah, it really is. As a matter of fact, 11 years ago, when I made the move to CAA, it was because, at least in my perception, the athletes had changed from just being considered and viewed as athletes by the viewing public, and they were more like celebrities. And so I thought very close to the TV stars, the music stars, and the movie stars. And if that was the case, then I thought, well, what if I looked at the top talent agencies in the world and looked at what they had in terms of a platform? And so I went through four of what I thought were the tops, and Richard Lovett and Mike Rubel, who was the general counsel, mm-hmm. They were extraordinary, and when they described the platform and everything that they had that was potentially available for players that could access it, it was just it didn't make any sense to do anything else.
What year are you with CAA? How long have you been there?
11 years.
Okay, and let's talk about this record haul this year. How many first rounders?
Nine.
How many in the top 10?
I'm sorry?
And how many of those are top 10, top 15, top 20?
Yeah, we were 3, 5, 7, and 11. And then 13, 19, 23, 25, and 30. And so it was Solomon Thomas was the Stanford edge player, was right. Our first player off the board at 3. And then Corey Davis, the record-breaking wide receiver out of Western Michigan, went at 5 to the Titans. And Mike Williams, the other great receiver, went at 7 to the Chargers. And we had Marshawn Lattimore at 11 to the Saints. Hassan Reddick, 13 to the Cardinals. O.J. Howard at 19 to the Bucks. Evan Ingram at 23 to the Giants. It makes Eli happy. Jabril Peppers at 25 to the Browns. And we've got T.J. Watt at 30 to the Steelers. So we've got three Watt brothers all playing in the league at the same time. And I'm just going to check back with JJ's mom and dad, see if they've got any more coming up.
Yeah, you get them working on that, will you, Tom?
Yep.
It's hard, you almost sound like you're treating them as children, and you can't favor one child over another. But I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you, of all these guys, top of the draft this year, do you have a favorite, or do you have a story that stands out either in their training up to the draft or even day of?
Yeah, I would say that, as I said, with 10 agents here and with, Sexton and Todd France as, two elite agents in the country here, I was primarily involved with Solomon Thomas and Corey Davis there in the first round. And Solomon is a Stanford edge rusher. I told his father at some point in our lives we'll be calling him Senator Thomas.
Wow.
He's that special of a kid. And
what about Corey him? Davis, I'm sorry to interrupt. What about him? Because that's lofty praise, obviously.
He's a extraordinarily intelligent young man. He's got great dedication to his craft. He thinks through everything. He's got great attention to detail. And then a passion for the game. And, besides the fact that he's he ran a great time at the 40, at the combine in the 40, but maybe even more importantly, he's got a nonstop motor, and he's a fast twitch guy. So he's explosive. And when you combine that with somebody that understands football type situations in terms of where you are in the field, what down it is, what the personnel package is, what their tendencies are and all of that. And he grasps all of that. He's got a chance to be really special. And I say that knowing, last year we had Joey Bosa, and I really thought, he was also a really high Wunderlich test score guy and very bright guy. And Joey was just so unbelievably good with his hands and explosive, and also had a huge motor, as Solomon does. And then with Corey Davis, when I first got the idea that he was, as a matter of fact, I represented his uncle Kent Graham, and his legal guardian is Kent's brother Dan, who played in the league as an offensive guard and was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and both great guys. So they called me up and said, "Would you be interested in talking to Corey?" And of course, I checked him out, and he's 6 feet three, 215 pounds, and has explosive outside speed, as well as a great route runner. But I think what makes him special is how he competes. And when he's not getting the ball, he's blocking, he's working away from the play. And he's just, he reminded me from a personality standpoint so much of great Anquan Boldin. I couldn't help saying to Corey, I said, "Corey, you're 21 years old. You could lighten up just a tad." He's awfully serious.
Yeah, well, obviously driven and driven to be successful. And your Solomon Thomas obviously hits home. I'm a very biased Stanford alum, actually headed out there tomorrow to speak at the law school. Yeah.
Oh, really? Great.
And the recruiting, it's got to be tough to land all these guys. I'm sure everybody's saying, what sets you guys apart? Because as you've been dealing with since 2011, and I know so well from covering all this, the collective bargaining has some serious limitations on rookie contracts. You're mandated how long they are, 4 years, fifth-year option for first-rounders. You're mandated on the money. You can negotiate, obviously, bonus terms, like what was the issue with Bosa. But there are limitations there. So do you face in recruiting, like, hey, why do I need to pay you guys a full fee? What's going on? I mean, how do you deal with those challenges in recruiting these guys?
Yeah, there's no question that things have changed, especially with the new system. You'll recall that we were fortunate enough to have Sam Bradford as the last big contract prior to the new rookie system coming into place. And so just by comparison, he was $13 million a year and $50 million guaranteed. And the first pick in the draft is now a little more than half of that. Mm. And that's 7 years or 8 years later.
Right.
So to your point, trying to differentiate yourself with regard to what are you going to do with the, rookie contract. Part of it is you're making football decisions, and the player is going to make football decisions, and somebody's got to help him with those decisions. And you'd like to think that that you're getting, the appropriate advice. I think that we've done a good job of that in the past. The other is that even though the numbers are fairly well slotted, you're certainly going to argue about the payout and the guarantee and offsets and all of those kinds of things. In the language in the contracts now, some of them are what we would consider to be onerous, is that if you get fined for any reason, the club can void all of your guarantees.
Is that negotiable?
Yes. Okay. All of the language is negotiable. So, that was why, of course, last year we had such a lengthy negotiating period with Joey Bosa. And really, I think that if I remember correctly, I can't tell you if it was the last 3 years in a row or three of the last four that we've had the last player signed in the first round, and that's because we're fighting about language.
And I think people do see the CBA and say, "What are you guys fighting about? The money's all set." But as I try to point out, and I was, talking a lot about Bosa last year in August, it is a lot more than just the numbers, because you're fighting worst case scenario, and everybody says, well, what are you worried about? Getting fined? You're worried about bad behavior, but you got to protect it.
Yeah, I mean, when they're talking about fined, if you're late for the meeting, you're fined. It doesn't make any difference why you're late for the meeting. I just remember driving into practice one day, and my muffler came off and dragged along the ground. Sparks are flying up, and the car starts to smoke. So I pull the car over to the side. I'm late for the meeting. Now, back in the day, they weren't fining you for stuff like that, but that's a finable offense now.
And theoretically, you could lose your all future guarantees for that muffler.
You could, yes. That would be, part of the contract. Some of the contract language is for fines and/or suspensions.
Right. So in our little remaining, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
Oh, nothing. I was just going to say, because the suspension thing now is going to on the field as well.
Right.
So, if you get a couple of personal fouls and you get suspended for a game, you're in jeopardy of losing all of your guarantees.
How are you able to overcome that with teams? Because I'm sure they say, as I did with the Packers for 10 years, hey, all our players have it.
Yeah, there's no question. It's a tough deal, and that's our job. We're going to try to make the best of it.
Right. You mentioned Sam, so I'll transition there. Sam Bradford, of course, this time last year, you and I talked, I think, here on this podcast about his unhappiness with the resources spent to acquire Carson Wentz, and it was clear that he was not the long-term future of the franchise, and his dissatisfaction, which I thought he handled in a very professional way, only staying out, I think, a week or so. Or maybe even 2 days. I want to ask you two things. One, it seems like there's a carbon copy of what's going on in Chicago, that what went on with Bradford and Wentz. You now have Glennon and Trubisky. The money's eerily similar. I think something like 19 guaranteed for Glennon, and it's obviously 28 whatever he's going to get for Trubisky. I don't think Glennon's going to find a number one pick out there like the Eagles did. But they're going to go through that as well. And then talk about Sam this year, the unfortunate injury with Bridgewater, and whether you've been approached or having discussions about more of a future in Minnesota.
I haven't talked to Minnesota about Sam with regard to an extension just yet. But, Rick Spielman and I represented his brother Chris coming out of Ohio State, one of my all-time favorite clients, and so we've known each other for 25 or so years. And Rob Buzinski, who handles the business side things there with the contracts and everything, we've always had a good relationship. So I think that we can certainly work through whatever we have to with Sam, but he's in the last year of his contract, and I think the world of him, both as a player and as a person. And his pro day is still the best I've ever seen. He's unfortunately has been on a couple of teams so far where, he's not been protected very well and has had some pretty significant injuries. But nevertheless, he's healthy, and he's an extraordinarily bright guy, and obviously his accuracy is unparalleled. So I think he'll be just fine.
He's been a clear winner through your help, obviously, in the business of football with top of market deals. Obviously, as a rookie, you mentioned it, but you know, with the Eagles, who didn't renegotiate his contract coming in, got a nice deal, and then he's in position for a very nice deal again.
Yeah, and it's, you know, let's face it, all 32 clubs are either looking for the quarterback that they don't have or the successor to the elite player that they do have. And the quarterback position was always the most important position on the team. But ever since the new collective bargaining agreement in 1993, and there's a finite number of cap dollars, certainly those dollars are going to be parsed out to the players that change the outcome of the game. And there's no question that the person that does that has the most effect on that is the quarterback.
And speaking of which, another bonus baby before the changes in the CBA, maybe the last one, or maybe Bradford was the last one, was Matthew Stafford. And you've done a renegotiation since then, and just checking in if there's another one ahead in Detroit for Stafford.
Yeah, Matthew was the year before Bradford.
Right.
And I think he was a 42.5 on his guarantee there with Detroit. And we did a six-year deal. And then at the end of year number four, with 2 years left to go, Detroit wanted to do a three-year extension. So it was a little bit unique on two fronts. One, he still had 2 years left to go on the contract, which is a little bit unusual. And the other was they wanted a relatively short-term extension. The plus for Stafford was that prior to the time that he actually went into year number five, with the money that he had already earned and the money that he had guaranteed going into the new contract, prior to the time he played year number five, he was certain he was going to have made $90 million.
Wow.
And that was attractive to him. And he's got 1 year left on his contract, and obviously he's been, he's got elite arm talent, and, I always try to get him to admit he's got the strongest arm in the National Football League, but he always puts it off.
Does he have someone else in mind?
No, I don't think so. He doesn't know. He doesn't offer anybody else's name. He just says, I don't know, what the heck, you know, who knows, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You've got Stafford at 90 plus million. Bradford's inching up there. And of course, Peyton, highest earnings in the history of pro football. And I believe the highest active earner is Eli. You've got quite the list. And I'm sure Drew Brees is climbing that board pretty quick, too.
I tell you, you know, Drew Brees, as you know, first pick in the second round by San Diego, and of the five quarterbacks that have thrown for 5,000 yards in the history of the National Football League, he's one of the five. Only everybody else has done it once, and he's done it five times.
Wow.
Which is,
now, his guarantee runs out this year. I mean, do you have any concern there long beyond this year with New Orleans? There seemed to be a team in transition.
You know, I thought that New Orleans had done I thought they did a good job in free agency, and I thought they did a really good job in the draft in terms of solving some problems. They have really bolstered that offensive line, and I might be leaving somebody out, but I would think that Dallas and Oakland and New Orleans have to be at the top of the heap in terms of offensive line. They've put a lot of money and a lot of draft choices there. And we've got Andres Pete there, who is, 6'7", 325 pounds. And he'll play guard for a while, and then I'm assuming he'll go to tackle, back to tackle at some point. But anyway, they've done a good job there. Drew loves his young receivers, and so New Orleans has now worked hard on the defense. Maybe an area where I think they're probably still going to look for some help is pass rush. But I think with Drew, he's got an extraordinarily close relationship with the head coach, who he admires greatly, and I think that I watch Drew and his training in the off season and his preparation is just absolutely top shelf. I mean, he's so detail oriented on all of that. And I every year I watch him to see if the velocity or the distance is going to decrease, and can't see anything like that.
Hmm. Yeah, a testament to his workouts are legendary out in San Diego. I was attended one, some with Darren Sproles and Aaron Rodgers and Carson Palmer, actually. But before I let you go, Tom, any comments on free agents you had or free agents still out there that you're looking to get placed as this goes into kind of a different time in the off season right now?
Well, certainly, we've got Blaine Gabbert and Victor Cruz, mm-hmm. who two guys I'm very fond of that I think are both excellent football players, and they're going to have a home. It's just going to, some of this takes some time. There's there's kind of a way of doing things in the league. And so after the initial burst of free agency, if you're not signed, then typically stuff doesn't happen until after the draft. And then sometimes then again, not until teams look at their, go through their OTAs and see where either they get injuries or they think they have deficiencies. And so, and really, at this point, with guys like Blaine and Victor, it's more about getting to the right place than anything else, and so that they can resume their careers. But yeah, so that and then in this last free agency period, I can't speak to all the other agents in my office and everything, but we had some linemen, especially with Calais Campbell and Matt Khalil and Kevin Zeitler and Luke Jokel. Mm-hmm. And, they all kind of, they're very well thought of, and I think they're all in places where they're going to succeed and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, those are some big ones. I think when I looked at the burst you talked about, I think Campbell was a deal that really stood out. I believe that's a plus 13 average, something like that.
Yeah, Calais was a $15 million a year average. He moved from Arizona to Jacksonville, and so I think that the interesting thing, at least for me with Calais, is if you looked at the prior to this free agency period, if you looked at the top 10 paid defensive linemen in the league, 8 of the 10 signed their contract when they were 26 or younger. One was 20. The ninth was 27. And the 10th was 28, and Calais is 31, and he's now in that, he's right in the middle of that pack, fifth or sixth in terms of, highest paid. And, 31 is a kind of a precarious time in terms of entering free agency.
And what do you attribute that to besides your efforts? I mean, obviously, there was interest in him despite his age. I mean, he seemed to have a very strong market.
He did. He had a strong market, and I think that my efforts weren't as important as his production on the field. he had a fabulous year, and he's such a dominating physical presence at 6'8" and 310 pounds, and he's a smooth moving guy like a basketball player, but he's so long that he's just a terrible matchup for a guard. I mean, when he turns his shoulders and reaches out with his right hand for your outside shoulder, I mean, I don't care who the guard is, when they extend their arms, they're not touching his chest. They're too far away. He's too far away.
Let me ask you a last question on Campbell, because, it just makes me think before I let you go. Here's a top-level free agent. He goes to Jacksonville. Now, the perception is, okay, they're a struggling team. They're picking high in the draft every year. He's going for the money. I'm just saying a perception out there versus going to a contending team, maybe for a little less money. And I'm sure he had interest among top teams. How do you sort of balance that and talk to the player about, you know, let's face it, Jacksonville is not a marquee franchise, and how much does that matter versus the big money?
Well, you know, and they've made changes down there with regard to their administrative structure as well as their head coach. And and so, you know, Calais and I went over all of their personnel and the moves that they had made and the age of their players and what role Calais would fill. And when I say the age, I mean they've got a bunch of young, you know, high pick draft choices that that ought to start to flourish now. And so, from as far as the team goes, I think that we both agreed that that they had turned the corner, and let's see, they had the defensive tackle from Denver that they signed in free agency last year. So was it Malik Jackson?
Right, Malik Jackson was another top of the market deal. Right.
Right. So he's you know, he's 6'7", 300 pounds. And now they've got Calais in there, and he's 6'8", 310 pounds or so. And you know, so that helps your edge rushers, because clearly they're going to certainly push the pocket, and the quarterback's not going to be able to step up. You know, so your edge guys get to get a huge benefit out of that. And I just think that Doug Marrone, who was their offensive line coach, and they elevated to the head coach. I think he's got a fabulous future. And you know, Dave Caldwell, their general manager, and now with Tom Coughlin there, I think they've got some guys in place that can identify some players.
Well, Tom, this has been great. I know I kept you longer. We just got going. You know, two guys talking football in the business of football. So really, thanks a lot, and I'm sure all our listeners love hearing you, and I'll have you back soon on the Business of Sports. Thanks again, Tom.
Okay, Andrew, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hope everyone enjoyed hearing Tom Condon. 9 first-round picks and big deals ahead for Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford, and more. Listen to all editions of the Business of Sports through RossTucker.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you hear your podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Brand. I'll be back next week with another edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brand.
Thanks for listening to the Business of Sports with Andrew Brand. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also get additional insider insight by listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and College Draft Podcast, all at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts are found.